Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Good morning, folks. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. We've got a great lineup for you today. We'll visit with Rafael Goyeneche, President of Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll talk about a number of different issues. We'll talk about the NOPD consent decree. We'll talk about a new sheriff in Orleans Parish, Mayor LaToya Cantrell's request to remain in contact with Jeffrey Vappi being denied. We'll talk about the NOPD overtime and a new policy, and the MCC report on a couple of different issues. We'll also visit at 11 o'clock Jonathan Aroney, consent decree monitor, NOPD, the leader with the Shepard Mullen Organizational Integrity Group. We'll talk about the final report that was filed in Judge Susie Morgan's court, releasing the NOPD under the constraints of the consent decree. At 10:30, Kyle Gilmore, Port Nola Director of Real Estate, joins us, as well as Russell Richardson, President and CEO of St. Tammany Economic Development Corporation. We'll talk about a number of things, of what's going on in the North Shore and the connection between the two organizations. And I wanted to start off this morning, and you just heard a little bit of it in crosstalk with Tommy Tucker. There's a lot of confusion on this issue, and I think it's done intentionally. And we're conflating a number of issues about the rights of individuals in this country. And there seems to be this consternation about immigration enforcement and what is due process relative to immigration enforcement. And I think the best way to allay the fears of the community is for everybody to just be brutally honest, is to understand the law, so that when individuals attempt to mislead you about what they feel or believe the due process rights should be in immigration, you'll know better. You will not be misled. Anyone who claims that non-citizens, otherwise known as aliens, and that's what they're called in immigration law, and are entitled to the full panoply of constitutional rights enjoyed by you and I as citizens of this country, are wrong, and they are trying to mislead you. Bottom line, immigration proceedings are civil matters. They are not criminal prosecutions. And there's a huge delta between the two. If aliens are being arrested and prosecuted for violation of criminal statutes, they are in fact entitled to constitutional due process rights. No doubt about that. Let there be no confusion on that issue. If they are being arrested and prosecuted for violation of state and or federal criminal statutes, they are entitled to constitutional due process rights. But the general principle in immigration law and some of the seminal cases in immigration is that an alien being removed or deported, those terms are synonymous in immigration law, by the government is not being deprived of life, liberty, or property. And that the provisions of the Constitution securing the right to trial by jury, they don't have that, prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures, that can be limited, cruel and unusual punishment, for the most part, started out as being limited but has dissipated over the years and in court rulings. But it's why federal immigration officers do not need a warrant issued by a judge before arresting and detaining aliens for violation of the immigration law, and they are not entitled to be advised of their Miranda rights either, or to the assistance of a government-appointed lawyer. They have the right to a lawyer. They have the right to request a lawyer. But the government, if they are indigent, are not going to give them a lawyer during their deportation proceedings. And in fact, the most that the government may be compelled to do is provide a list of lawyers to these individuals if they want to seek a lawyer. Aliens, for example, cannot claim selective prosecution like citizens can when they are contesting deportation. You are here illegally. You have no right. Federal immigration courts, for example, and this gets screwed up all the time, and it's why we have this huge tug of war going on in the manner in which we're challenging some of what is being done by the Trump administration, are not Article III courts spelled out in the Constitution. These judges, immigration judges, are not confirmed by the Senate. They are actually administrative courts within the Department of Justice. They're actually appointed by the Attorney General. So they're actually there to serve at the whim of the Attorney General. Aliens attempting to enter the U.S. have no constitutional due process rights to contest the government's denial of their entry. Aliens seeking entry to the U.S. have no First Amendment right that would somehow give them the ability to contest the government's refusal to let them in because of their views, their opinions, or other speech. There's case after case after case after case. There's examples of this by every administration where they have denied individuals based on things that they are saying to gain access to the United States. It's not a guarantee. Even aliens who are legally here inside the U.S., they do not enjoy the full panoply of First Amendment rights, for example. They can't participate in the political process. They can be given that right by individual states, but it's not guaranteed. And in fact, in the state of Louisiana, they don't have the right to vote in state and local elections. So they don't have that full panoply of constitutional rights. People speak of this as though they do. They do not. They can be limited. And in fact, most of what they are given as it relates to rights are provided to them under the immigration law, in other words, statutorily provided. In fact, the Supreme Court said that a state's historical power to exclude aliens from the participation in its democratic political institutions is part of the sovereign's obligation to preserve the basic conception of a political community. So it's limited. There's not this full panoply that everybody talks about. That's what they desire. It is what the Biden administration would like to have seen happen when they're talking about immigration reform. That's what they're trying to achieve and accomplish, is to give this full panoply of constitutional protections to illegal aliens that enter the country. They have it as it relates to criminal prosecutions, but not relative to enforcement of immigration laws. So, you know, there's this really confusion about a lot of this. And in fact, under the Immigration and Nationality Act, when an alien arrives at the border, that individual can be removed without a hearing, without a review. He or she is inadmissible by an immigration officer. And there are some exceptions. For example, if one requests asylum or asserts what we hear all the time, this credible fear of persecution if returned to their native country. And this provision can be applied to aliens who have been inside the country for less than 2 years as well. Instead of being properly admitted or paroled, had entered without inspection at the border crossing, if they're here with less than 2 years, they can be removed. There is no due process. There's none. But we don't talk about that. No one talks about that because what they're too busy doing is trying to demonize ICE and demonize the Border Patrol. And the fact of the matter is that on a bipartisan basis, these laws were put into place under the immigration laws of this country. So if an inadmissible alien attempts to enter or makes it into the country illegally, but is found and detained within 2 years, that alien can be removed without a hearing or any other proceeding. Plain and simple. There's also expedited removal proceedings for aliens convicted of a specified list of criminal offenses. So let's say they get all of their constitutional rights and they are convicted of misdemeanor shoplifting. It's one of the enumerated offenses. They can be deported, removed. Theft, possession of felony firearms, drug offenses, domestic violence, stalking, child abuse, terrorism, espionage. All examples under 8 U.S.C. 1228 where they can be removed and deported. No hearing, no due process. You don't hear anybody talking about that, do you? In fact, the Secretary of Homeland Security can order the removal of an alien who is not a permanent resident alien. And the only limitation on the authority of the Secretary to the Secretary of Homeland Security is that the order cannot be enforced for 14 calendar days, and the alien must be given reasonable notice of the charges and a reasonable opportunity to inspect the evidence and rebut the charges, but not a full panoply of constitutional due process. You don't hear about that either, do you? So when we see these things going down, and let's assume for a moment that the Homeland Security agent or the Border Patrol agent understands the individual that they're looking for, knows the individual that they're looking for, knows the status, knows the difficulties, but most importantly knows the deficiencies as it relates to the provisions provided for under immigration law, there are no due process requirements in many cases. In many cases. Once outside that two-year statutorily granted grace period, aliens in this country are entitled to the due process of a hearing in an administrative court system, not an Article III court. I got texts here saying that Judge Boasberg would like to have a word with you. Yeah, he's been reversed almost every time. So he's got nothing to say. Such immigration court proceedings are conducted by the Executive Office for Immigration Reviews, an agency inside the Department of Justice. And that court or that review was set up in 1983. And they adjudicate these cases under the delegated authority by whom? The Attorney General. Immigration judges are employees of the Justice Department, right? They're not these Title III courts. Everyone believes that they can go running to federal court. Federal court does not have any original jurisdiction in immigration cases. Deportation orders issued by immigration judges, they're enforced by ICE, right? And these immigration judges, they're really acting as delegates of the Attorney General. These officers are statutorily created, and their powers and duties, some of their powers and duties are given to them by Congress, and some of them by the Attorney General themselves. We've seen this whole hoopla in, reported in the news about, well, the Attorney General says that she has the authority to do this, that, or otherwise. Yes, she does. There's no doubt about it. And when they have these deportation orders, this is the big problem, and nobody talks about this either. Once a deportation order is issued by an immigration judge, that individual who is to be deported has 60 days to file an appeal with the relevant court. The Federal Circuit Court of Appeals have jurisdictions over a number of these cases. 60 days. Once that passes and that alien encounters immigration and is getting removed pursuant to the deportation order, they have no due process rights after that period of time. They are ineligible, even though the government delayed in enforcing the order. So it doesn't matter. And under the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 4A1A, no court shall have jurisdiction to hear any cause or claim by or on behalf of any alien arising from the decision or action by the Secretary of Homeland Security to commence proceedings, adjudicate cases, or execute removal orders against any alien. Then there's the temporary protected status. Aliens whose TPS has been revoked have no due process rights to contest that revocation and can be removed immediately from the country. There have been a series of cases, and this is where the Venezuelans with Trinidad Aragua and others have come up, where the U.S. Supreme Court has stayed district court rulings on this issue. And Boasberg and others have been slapped down as it relates to the exercise of authority that they don't have. Now, I could go on and on and on and on. But let's go to the ACLU. What do they say? Right? They say, stay calm, don't run, don't argue, don't resist, don't obstruct the officer, even if you believe your rights are being violated. Keep your hands where police can see them. Don't lie about your status or provide false documents. What do they say about your rights? Yes, you do have the right to remain silent and do not have to discuss your immigration or citizenship status with police, immigration agents, or other officials. It's a general rule. Anything you tell an officer can later be used against you in immigration court. If you are not a U.S. citizen and an immigration agent requests your immigration papers, you must show them if you have them with you. If an immigration agent asks if they can search you, you do have the right to say no. And you, if agents, they do not have the right to search you or your belongings without your consent or probable cause, right? If you're over 18, you know what they suggest? Carry your papers with you at all times. If you don't have them, tell the officer that you want to remain silent and that you want to consult a lawyer. And you got to go about contacting your family or whoever else in order to get the lawyer, because the government's not going to provide a lawyer to you unless they're investigating you for a violation of a state or federal criminal statute. Now, some of the exceptions are really interesting. You know, got all these people talking about due process. In some states, you must provide your name to law enforcement if you are stopped and told to identify yourself. If you are driving and you're pulled over, the officer can require you to show your license, your vehicle registration, and proof of insurance. You want to know why they run? Because they've been told that they can ask you for that, and if you don't have any of that, you are probably going to get hooked up by ICE and or Border Patrol. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care what your status is. I want you to have a driver's license and insurance and a vehicle registration. I want you and everybody else to suffer the same burdens that we have to suffer, the same costs that we have to suffer, and there should be no exceptions. I have no empathy or sympathy for individuals that violate these rules. Because it all comes back to haunt you when they hit you and they're not insured and you're sitting there paying the freight, and then you're going to end up paying, increasing your premiums for auto insurance for a period of at least 3 years. And your numbers probably, if you're insured here, are already exorbitant and off the rails. Is that a lot to ask for? I don't think so. I don't think so. If you are arrested by the police, you have a right to a government-appointed lawyer. That's true. There's a difference. If you're being arrested for a violation of a criminal statute set forth by the state and or the federal government, you are. You have the full panoply of the constitutional rights, like any other citizen, but not in the enforcement of immigration rules and laws. You don't hear people talking about that at all. So I wanted to just point that out. You know, we've got people wanting to video and everything else and put it out on the social media only to create pressure, only to create confusion, only to attack officers that are upholding the Constitution and laws of the federal government. And then our law enforcement officers, when I took the oath of office, it was the Constitution and laws of the United States, the Constitution and laws of the state, and the Constitution and or the laws and ordinances of Jefferson Parish. There wasn't an asterisk. There wasn't an exception. That's not how it works. And these folks that are saying that, well, we don't really understand the strategy of Border Patrol and or ICE. Really? Is anybody really worried about the strategy that's deployed by law enforcement and other law enforcement actions that they partake? I don't see this hue and cry in the streets of our country worrying about folks being arrested for violations. Right? I don't see that at all. Why are we carving out this special exception here? It's kind of weird to me. I don't really quite understand why there's this big concern. You came across the border. You know you did it wrong. You know you violated the rules. And now you want to be afforded a whole panoply of protections unique to citizens of this country. And in the immigration field, it's civil in nature. Hopefully that clears up some of the questions that folks had and the reasons why things are done the way they are done. And, you know, Tommy interviewed an immigration lawyer, and if you notice one thing, he focused on right to remain silent. There is that right. There is an exception if the immigration officer asks you. You know, nobody's making the distinction between immigration and the law enforcement folks, right? There's no Miranda warning that you have to give if they're enforcing immigration laws. And they immediately went to, this is a humanitarian issue. They rebuilt New Orleans. Well, that then provides a cloak that I think all of us would enjoy having. You know, if we worked hard to bring back the place that we call home, right? We all did. Then we should be afforded all kinds of rights and privileges as though this the same thing that these folks are looking for in civil nature as well, because we don't get them. We don't get those in a civil nature. They do. We don't. In many respects. So this special class that's trying to be created in order to stoke the emotions of people that are not well grounded in fact. Change the law, but don't criticize ICE and Border Patrol for doing their job. Because who's next? We'll be right
back. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Kyle Gilmore, Port Nola Director of Real Estate, and Russell Richardson, President and CEO of the St. Tammany Economic Development Corporation. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So let's first start out, Kyle, with you. The expansion of Port Nola's foreign trade zone number 2 into St. Tammany Parish. What does that mean for St. Tammany, and what does it mean for the port?
Yeah, so just to give a little background, the Port of New Orleans is the grantee of Foreign Trade Zone number 2, as you mentioned, which makes it the second oldest foreign trade zone in the country. It was originally established in 1946 as the Second World War came to a close and traditional consumer markets opened back up. The zones were created to promote U.S. competitiveness and international trade by reducing tariff costs on imported goods that would be used as components for exported finished products. So the thinking was that by incentivizing these types of imports, there would be a major push to increase domestic manufacturing. And in today's world, where the American economy is less focused on manufacturing, companies are also utilizing foreign trade zones not only to eliminate associated tariff costs, but also to delay the cost of those on imported goods. So by doing this, it allows companies to have more cash on hand that can be used for investments into their facilities or acquiring more equipment or expanding or enhancing their workforce. So FTZs are essentially one of many tools companies can use to create more efficiency in the trade process, which is going to be even more important for the port and the entire region once the new Louisiana International Terminal comes online in Violet.
Kyle, I'm always amazed by the little nuances in so many of these federal statutes. I just talked about some relative to immigration, but you see this in almost all areas of federal law, right?
Yes, sir. Certainly.
And obviously, Russell Richardson, President and CEO of St. Tammany Economic Development Corporation. Russell, from your perspective, how advantageous is this for your folks in St. Tammany?
Yeah, thanks, Newell. Thanks for having me on as well. I'm just coming into St. Tammany. I came from Baton Rouge. I've been there about almost 3 months now. So kind of coming in and where we are from our recruitment strategies and helping companies expand and this logistics corridor along I-12 and the port that's being planned and developed. This certainly gives us another tool to help to recruit companies as well as help those that are here that may want to expand and just help them be more competitive. So it certainly adds to our pitch in terms of how we go about growing the parish.
And I guess this is to both of you, but probably more so Kyle. When we think about the development of LIT, does that really open the door for some of these other nuances like this that we just talked about under federal law?
Yeah, certainly. So as your listeners may know, you know, we have about 1,100 acres of property in the area where the new Louisiana International Terminal will be built. The footprint of the actual container terminal will only be about 400 or 450 acres of that. So it's going to leave us several hundred acres that we can develop outside of the actual container terminal. And what we'll be working on is attracting other value-added services and other businesses like warehousing and distribution centers, things like that, to the other hundreds of acres we have there. And like St. Tammany, we'll be able to use this tool, this FTZ tool, to attract businesses to St. Tammany. We will also be able to use it to attract businesses to the Violet area that will benefit from not only the proximity to the new terminal, but also the connectivity of the new corridor that we're going to develop. And also, you know, as St. Tammany develops their inland port, their business park, those services will basically be connected to each other. So everybody will benefit from these very specific, nuanced federal laws.
Russell, when you talked about this kind of logistics corridor along the I-12, and obviously in the aftermath of Katrina, that really started to take off for a whole host of reasons. What is kind of the state at the present time?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. We just had LED in just for a visit, the State Economic Development Agency, to just kind of walk through some of the sites that we're developing now along, mainly along I-12 and some up of 59 there in terms of the corridor. And you know, we've probably got five or six sites, different sizes that we will use to market to companies in the spaces, logistics, manufacturing, and those types of companies to locate them there. And just having, you know, again, having that FTZ zone, being assigned to St. Tammany helps us with that piece. And, you know, the rail piece that, you know, Norfolk Southern, I think in them coming down through the parish, servicing that port that will be developed, those types of infrastructure pieces helps us position well along the interstate with these sites that we can help bring companies to, as well as companies that are here may need to find space to expand.
You know, it's really interesting to me, and I think both of you might be able to opine on this relative to the LIT and then what flows outside of the Louisiana International Terminal. Recently, here in Jefferson Parish, there was an Amazon distribution warehouse that was developed and opened here. And I'm going to tell you, you can order something at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it'll be on your doorstep at 6:30 the next morning. I mean, it's absolutely incredible what has happened as a byproduct of that facility opening, as to how quick you can get items. And I just got to imagine that when we look at the supply chain for a whole host of different industries throughout the state of Louisiana, we would be the beneficiary of that improved efficiency, would we not?
Yeah, certainly. Because we're basically building the terminal from scratch, you know, there are certain inefficiencies in our current terminal uptown in New Orleans that just exist because the way of doing business, you know, when it first was developed, just doesn't work anymore. So as these new technologies come in play, you know, the efficiency is very important to get the products off a vessel onto shore and then into a distribution center so it can go out to the folks in the entire region as fast as possible. And, as I mentioned on a previous show, these new techniques using drones and other techniques are just, you know, they're moving at such a pace that any way you can find efficiency in the supply chain will benefit every single person along the way. So you're exactly right. It's very impressive how you can order something and have it at your doorstep the next day, knowing that, you know, just a few hours ago it was on a vessel coming from another part of the world.
So I know that there's been a lot of Kyle talk about the permit and waiting on on that, and I guess our federal officials are putting pressure on everyone to try and get this off a dead center. Is that kind of a fair characterization of where we stand today?
Yeah, so we are still in the permitting process. You know, we still have our fingers crossed, and we're hoping that the permit will be issued early next year in the first quarter. We were a little stressed about the government shutdown, but we were assured by the Army Corps that, you know, there wouldn't be any additional delays because of that. You know, our team's working hard on a daily basis and constant conversations with those folks to get them all the information they need to get that permit issued. And, you know, on our side, we're ready to go as soon as that permit's issued. You know, shortly thereafter, we'll have shovels in the ground and hopefully get things moving as fast as possible.
And Russell, to you, I wanted to give you an opportunity for final thoughts.
Yeah, look, it's a really good opportunity for us to just help us compete as a parish and the companies that are here. You know, a lot of the companies, you know, coming in and just introducing myself to a lot of the companies that are here now and companies that are looking. Usually their footprints are not just in the parish. They may be around the region, some of them around the state, across the Gulf South. So having that foreign trade zone designation, just adding that tool so that we can compete more for these companies and able to put a footprint in the parish as it relates to their assets and other facilities around the state in the Gulf South, that only helps them. So in terms of just improving our attractiveness and our ability to recruit, that helps us for sure.
Well, gentlemen, best of luck to both of you, and thank you so much for joining us today to talk about the foreign trade zone number 2 into St. Tammany Parish. We certainly appreciate it, and have a great holiday season.
Thanks. Same to you.
All righty, folks, that's Kyle Gilmore, Port NOLA Director of Real Estate, and Russell Richardson, President and CEO of the St. Tammany Economic Development Corporation. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So, folks, I got a lot of comments about my monologue this morning, you know, about these issues and the differences of whether what happens in the enforcement of immigration rules and laws as opposed to criminal statutes, and the difference as to whether or not this is state and local officers asking questions and probing of aliens in this country as opposed to immigration officials doing it. And a lot of folks appreciated the fact that we brought this issue to the forefront. I thought it needed to be discussed because as this, you know, these conversations around this consternation about what immigration enforcement is and what it's about, you just soon know what the rules are, what the laws are, and the differences here, and that everybody's conflating this. And I go back to, you know, whether you're watching it on the news, you're talking to immigration activists that are involved, they always run right to, well, this is a humanitarian issue. Actually, it starts out as a sovereignty issue of this country and whether or not people are going to give the respect that this country is due. You know, I made the same observations the other day, and we're going to talk about this later in the show, about these officers that were abusing overtime. We want to call it all kinds of things, except what it is, payroll fraud, and that they're an embarrassment to the police department, right? Because they're not following the rules. Well, What's good for the goose is good for the gander. That should be exactly what we're talking about here. You're not following the rules. So why is it that we are compelled to have to engage in this dialogue and rhetoric about workarounds? This was a bipartisan thing that was passed. And in fact, the deporter-in-chief, President Barack Obama, who deported more people in the first 4 years of his administration than any other president in the history of the country up until that time. Because they recognized this was about the sovereignty of this country. This was about order. This was about structure. This was about overwhelming the infrastructure of this country on the whim of each individual alien that crossed that border illegally to avail themselves of all the rights and the privileges and the niceties that this country has to offer, and in many cases to the detriment of citizens. Because we ended up getting less because the infrastructure was not in a place to take on more, but they did anyway. But nobody wants to talk about that. It's not a bad thing to be a little selfish and want to make sure that America is first, that we're first as citizens. And I keep pointing out, we have 40-some-odd million people living below the federally identified poverty level. Why in God's creation would we want more? We're doing a crappy job relative to that segment of the population already. Is our goal to get crappier? I hope not. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.